I'm excited to teach and to work in the Word again today. We have been in a series the last few Sundays called From Covington to Eternity. From Covington to Eternity. And I just have really felt the Lord working and moving. And I've heard from so many of you that are being impacted and strengthened in the Word, and people who are making decisions and deciding, you know, that this is the life that you want to live, and you want God to bless and to make a way. And so I'm excited about that and grateful for that. I'm excited to preach to your friends and your family on Easter. I believe the Lord is going to help us as we talk about from Easter to eternity. We got to make a decision, and God is going to honor that decision and bless our lives. And of course, today is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week, and it's a special time. And I pray that you would allow it to be special in your life, and that you would make it special in your life. You say, how do I do that? Well, you can do that as simply as taking time to read the gospel accounts of this week. Just go to Matthew, go to Luke, go to John, and just get in these chapters. They're not long. You can read and take a few verses each day, and just read. Feel the emotion. Feel all of the uncertainty at times, and the confusion that gripped the hearts of even the closest followers of Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful account of all that happened. But it's beautiful because we have the privilege of knowing the end of the story. Put yourself in their shoes while they're feeling it real time, all the things that are happening to them, and they're not sure what the outcome is going to be, even though Jesus is promising them and reassuring them. Take time to read that. Engage with some worship music. Spend some time in prayer. And I promise you this week will be a blessed week. And then invite someone to be in the house of the Lord with you. And I believe we'll all be blessed because of it. Each Sunday, the last few Sundays, we've talked about Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. That God has set eternity in the human heart. Literally has set eternity inside of us. What does that mean? What does that look like? Because I'm still trying to wrap my brain around eternity and the fact that it is forever and forever and forever. And I know that is hard for us to grasp, and yet there is a curiosity. Still, there is a longing in my heart to know and to understand what Jesus is doing, what he's speaking, and what he is saying. What is that? It's our hearts that have been set to eternity. It's the call of God. It's the drawing of the Lord that says, come to me, come and follow me. I was reading this week in John 14. I love the book of John, and I love to just read from the book of John. John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. That were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He said, you know the way to the place where I am going. I'm going to prepare a place, and it's going to feel like I'm leaving you alone, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I am still going to be with you. And he says, you know the way to where I am going. And when I read that, I thought, did they really know the way? Do you and I know the way? Do we have a grasp on the way? Do we know how to get to heaven? So we've established the last couple of Sundays that eternity is coming, like it or not. We know that death is going to happen to us, and whether you and I cease to exist on this earth, or whether we are the generation who sees the return of the Lord and we're caught up and get to enjoy that incredible experience. We know that eternity is coming. And we also know that only two options exist. I'm either going to be with him or I'm going to be without him. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, or I'm going to spend eternity in hell. And I know that's heavy. I know that is strong. I know that is difficult to process, because we want so bad for there to be this in between. We want so bad for there to be this gray area. We want so bad to believe others that say this is not true, and all of that is just a made up story. But I got to tell you the truth today. Eternity is coming, and I'm going to be in one place or the other. And I hope you are deciding along with me today that I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I am going to spend eternity with him. Amen. There is no other option. And we also know that how we live our lives here, meaning what I do from day to day, is going to affect our lives there. We talked about that last Sunday. We talked about the rewards in heaven. I encourage you to go to YouTube and get caught up on the messages so that you're not missing any part of this if this is new teaching to you. And I get it. I know eternity is hard to grasp, and we say, you know what, I'm processing the right now. I'm dealing with the pressures of life right now. I'm struggling to figure out, you know, how I'm going to get through the next few days, much less eternity that is forever. I'll worry about that later. I've got too much living to do right now. But remember, he's going to ask us a question when we get there and we stand before him in judgment. He's going to ask us, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? And that question can only be answered while you and I are living our lives. There's not going to be the opportunity to run back. I'll be right back. I want to get you a better answer to that question. Just hold on. Just push pause on this eternity thing. Push pause on this judgment thing. Let me run back and redo a few days. Let me run back and turn right where I turn left. Let me run back and just kind of reset my life. That is not going to happen. When he asks us, what did you do with your life? It's going to be answered by how we're living our lives right now. So we got to make sure that we're living for eternity. We got to make sure that we're living right now for the life that is to come. How do we do that? I believe that Paul gave us some instruction. I believe that Paul helped us in powerful ways in teaching throughout the New Testament. But Philippians chapter 3 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. But let's read a little bit, beginning at verse number 12, Philippians chapter 3. He said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. What things is he talking about? If you read the previous verses, he's telling them, beware of dogs, beware of evil doers, put no confidence in the flesh. He said, stay away from mutilators of the flesh. That's a strong word, mutilators of the flesh. What in the world does that even mean? When you look at the original meaning, it means people that are literally cutting their flesh off, whether it's changing genders or just they don't want to be who they are. I mean, I'll just leave that alone, but just pay attention to what's happening in the world around us. He said, put no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because I want to know Christ. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to become like him. And yet he says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, because I'm still struggling with all of this. I'm still living in the flesh, and so I'm still wrestling, and I'm still dealing with temptations, and I'm still dealing with passions that go awry. I'm still dealing with things that get in my head. So I have not already achieved these things, nor have I already reached perfection. I haven't reached perfection. And guess what? He's not going to reach perfection. He's talking about heaven. I've not reached heaven. I'm still here. I'm still living here. Perfection is there. Glorified body is there. No temptation, no sin. All of that is there. As long as I'm living here, I'm still fighting the good fight. So I've not attained perfection. I've not reached perfection. But guess what? I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I'm pressing on to possess. I'm reaching every single day that I'm alive. I'm pressing every single day that I'm here. I'm not letting idle time. I'm not letting just, you know, allow my mind to get distracted with things that are not important, things that do not matter. I'm pressing on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He first possessed, that's why he saved me. He saved me because he wanted me to spend eternity with him. He saved me because he wanted to rescue me and to save me and to change my life so that I could spend life with him for eternity. We sing it every now and then. He picked me up and turned me around and set my feet on solid ground. What is all of that about? He's saving us so that he can spend eternity with us. I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you want to spend eternity with Jesus? I think it's 100%. We all do. Every single one of us want to spend eternity with him. So he says in verse 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. So all of that list I gave you, all of those things that I said we're striving for, knowing Christ in the power of resurrection and knowing him in the fellowship of suffering, I've not reached any of that. I've not attained any of that. I've not yet achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Paul said, I know me. I know me. I know my issues. I know my struggles. Me, Daryl Hooper, I know me. I know my issues. I know my struggles. I hope you are aware of your issues. I hope you are aware of your struggles. We're not living in denial. We know I can't go there because that triggers something else in my life. I can't watch that because that stirs up something else in my mind. I know me. I know the struggles that I have in my own life. I have to focus on this one thing, because there is incredible value in one thing. Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, Jesus said to her. Rich young ruler that we preached about a couple of Sundays ago, he said, hey, I've kept commandments. I've done all of those things. And Jesus said, but there's There's still one thing that you lack in your life because there's value in one thing. There's value in that one thing. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It's the value of one thing. What is it? What is it about human nature that we want to get all the details down to the smallest number of steps? It's just easiest that way. Just give me the bottom line, we say. Just tell me what I need to know for the test. I don't need all the extra information. I just need to know what I need to know so that I can pass this test. If there are any golfers in the room, in order to have a good golf swing and to hit the ball, you know, straight down the fairway, it requires, I don't know, 50, 75 things to go exactly right. It's a very frustrating game. But it requires all of these things to come together in one fluid motion. If you ever take a golf lesson, they're gonna tell you about all those 50 things, all those things that it requires to hit a good golf shot. And they're gonna say, we mentally want to get you to the place that becomes one fluid motion. 50 things comes down to one thing that you execute the same way every single time. And then you can go pro, make millions of dollars, and your life will forever be blessed. It's a lot harder. If you've ever played the game of golf, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's much harder to do than it is to talk about. And that's somewhat what it feels like trying to live for God. You know, when you were at the wedding with your spouse, they didn't take you through every possible scenario that would come up in your marriage. They didn't stand there at the altar and say, now look, while you're holding each other's right hand and looking lovingly and longingly into one another's eyes, let me tell you about, you know, days where toilets clog up and you can't get them unclogged. Too real? Okay. They didn't tell you about days where, you know, things are just so difficult and so hard. No, they just narrowed it all down to this one little phrase: will you love, honor, and obey? Will you just focus on these three? There's so much other stuff in that. There's so many other challenges in that. There's so many other difficulties in that. There is so many more details in that, but they just narrowed it down and we agreed and took off running out that building. Had no idea. Paul said, let me tell you about me. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. When it comes to the law, he said, I am a Pharisee. There's no one who has kept the law better than I have. When it comes to zeal, he said, I had so much zeal. I was persecuting the church. I was an enemy of the church. My righteousness, man, I was just, you talk about rule keeping. I was faultless when it came to righteousness based on the law. He said, I kept everyone's rule. Kept everybody's rule. The Baptist told me once saved, always saved. The Catholics told me to eat fish on Fridays. The Pentecostals told me I couldn't do anything. He said, but it still comes down to one thing. After all the rules I kept, after all of the things that I did. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul declares that after all he's been through and after everything he's learned and after everything he has achieved, after all of his successes, it still comes down to this one thing. In other words, if you're going to spend eternity with Jesus, if you're going to walk in wholeness with God, if you're going to thrive in any kind of spiritual success, if you're going to achieve anything, Paul said you're going to have to forget the past and you're going to have to look forward. I know it sounds a lot like two things, but it was Paul's ultimate golf swing, 50 things reduced down to one motion. Forget the past and look forward. Just you got to forget what was, forget what happened, let go of everything from right now back there. You got to forget that and you've got to look forward to what Jesus wants to do in your life. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. It's impossible to look in two directions at the same time. It really is. It's impossible. Periphery is all we have. If I look dead straight center, I mean, I see Barry's green shirt. I see Pastor Eric's real girly sweater. I don't know what that is. Okay, blue. It's a nice blue. All right. If I look straight ahead, I can only get about this far, but I can't really make out any details. I don't have any details. You ought to try looking forward and looking backward at the same time. It's impossible. How do I look forward? Hey, goodness of God, blessings of the Lord, eternity with Jesus, but also try to keep an eye on that and try to look back and remember this and hold on to that and live in that and struggle with that. It is impossible. But what's interesting is that Paul did not say he was looking back. He said he was remembering his past. He was struggling with the memory of his past while he was trying to live forward, while he was trying to look forward. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that your eternity is both mental and manual. Your eternity is super and natural. It is both forgetting and looking. Doing it all at the same time. Because we jeopardize eternity when we remember our past. Stay with me for just a moment. Because some of you are living in this space. You're living in this mental battle, this spiritual battle, because you cannot get beyond, you cannot get over, you cannot. I have this counseling session over and over and over again and answer this question over and over again. How do I get over what I did? How do I let go of what I did? I mean, if I had it all to do over again, guess what? You do not have it all to do over again. You cannot go back and undo. Oh, there may be opportunity for us to right wrong. There may be opportunity for us to apologize. There may be opportunity for us to have a conversation with someone. And if that's what God leads you to do, then do that. But hear me, when God forgives you, when God settles your account, when the Lord wipes the slate clean, we've got somebody being baptized here in just a little bit, and you may decide that today is your day to be baptized as well. But when they go down in the water, the Bible said that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. You say, how is that possible? How is that possible? It's spiritual. It's super. The natural is you getting into the water and believing that that moment is going to be spiritually significant in your life. But God is going to do the super part. He's the one that's going to wash the sin away. He's the one that's going to take the old man away. He's the one that's going to do the miracle in your soul. Eternity is mental and it's manual. I've got to forget some things and I've got to live my life looking ahead and looking forward and living forward. And when I say we jeopardize eternity when we remember our past, I'm not talking about your testimony. You need to keep that, and you need to use that, and you need to bless people with that. And you need to tell people, hey, I used to be where you are, or I used to struggle where you're struggling, or let me tell you how I struggled, and maybe it'll help you. And we use that testimony to bless people and to win people and to see people's lives changed. The kind of forgetting I need you to do is forgetting the thing that we keep wallowing in. The mud that we keep bathing in day after day, getting mentally stuck because of what you did. I cannot go forward and backward at the same time. And if you want to spend eternity with Jesus, if you want to get a grasp and set your direction toward living with the Lord forever, then you got to let go of that. You got to walk away from that. You got to say goodbye to that and stop allowing the enemy to use that to keep you from seeing your way forward. It's the only thing that's going to work. And just in case there's someone in this room that is still attracted to that, still wondering what could have been with that, let me just tell you, there's nothing for you back there. There's nothing for you back there. What happened, happened. Whoever left, left. Whatever did. There's nothing that can be done about it. So now, I'm living in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm looking. I'm not trying to remember. I'm forgetting that. I'm forgetting. Paul said, I gotta get this down to one thing, because this is the one thing. After everything I've been through, after everything I've dealt with, after everything I've struggled with, the one thing in my life that is so hard for me to do is to forget what is behind me, to forget the past, to let go of who I used to be. So in our final few moments today, let's take a little inventory. What is behind you? That's a question that only you can answer. That's a question that you have to come to terms with, that you have to deal with in your life. What is behind you? I would imagine it's sadness. I would imagine it's brokenness. I would imagine there is pain. There is disappointment. There may be addiction behind you. There's just a whole mess behind you. Let me ask you another question. What is ahead for you? What's ahead? I know what's behind. I know what's back there. I know there's sadness behind me and brokenness and a trail of tears and disappointment. But what is ahead? There is joy ahead of me. There is peace ahead of me. There is purpose. There is acceptance. There is freedom. There is wholeness. It is God's best that is ahead of me. What's behind you? Is that what you're struggling with? Is that what you can't let go of? Is that what will not relent in your life? Paul said, hey, let me tell you about my one thing. It's struggling with what is behind me. All of the things I did, all of the people that I hurt, all of the mistakes that I made, the choices, the directions that my life went. I'm having a hard time getting over it. And Paul's was pretty significant, by the way. He was a part of persecuting the church. He was there. He was there when apostles were being stoned and church leaders were being hung and murdered. Paul was there, and he said, I can't get those images out of my mind. I'm struggling so bad to forget what is behind me. And you're saying, wait a minute, Paul, what? Are you serious? I didn't do that. I'm not in that kind of mess. And still, you may be struggling today with what is behind you. I can't focus on what happened. I gotta focus on what is happening and what is going to happen. I'm focusing on what is ahead. How do I do this? How do I get from Covington to eternity? How do I get from where I am right now to where Jesus wants me to be? How do I get from here to there? You say, Pastor, I'm unhappy. How do I find joy? I'm sad. How do I find peace? It's what Paul said. Paul said, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I'm pressing. Every day I'm in the press. Every day I'm in the struggle. Every day I'm in the fight. Can I give you some truth, ladies and gentlemen? Everything you want is on the other side of something difficult. Apply it to every part of your life. Everything you want is on the other side of something hard. You want a paid for house? It's on the other side of getting up every day, putting that uniform on, sliding those work boots on one more time. Everything you want is on the other side of something hard. Everything you want spiritually is on the other side of something hard. I've got to kill this flesh. I've got to bury this old man. I've got to win this mental battle. I've got to stay disciplined. I've got to stay in faith. I've got to press. You know why? Because eternity with Jesus is more important than everything else. It's more important than everything else. I don't know if everyone in this room is convinced of that right now. I don't know if you've come to that place in your spiritual walk, in your journey, that eternity with Jesus is more important than anything. Everything is more important than anything else. That's why you gotta press. That's why you gotta press. You gotta be like that woman. Mark chapter 5, I believe. That woman that had the issue of blood. Bible said she couldn't get to where Jesus was because of the press. There was a crowd of people. She couldn't get to where he was, but she said in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just push my way through and press my way through, if I can just fight my way through all of the challenges in front of me, all of the difficulties, everything in my life, and there's someone in this room today, someone in this house today that needs to press, someone in this room that needs to push your way through, someone in this room that needs to say, you know what, there is nothing more important, there is nothing more valuable, there is nothing more significant in my life. I am going to get to Jesus because there's nothing that is more important in my life. It's the value of one thing. What is your one thing? What is your one thing? Father, we're going to need your help with this one today, Lord. This is not something we just sort of handle on our own. We need your grace. And we need your mercy. And we need your spirit. We've tried in our own power. We've tried under our own strength. We did good for a little while, but there I go again, stumbling, falling, failing, struggling. I thought if I read more books, got more education, I would figure my way through, but it only led to confusion, and you're not the author of that. I thought this relationship or that relationship, if I could just get with somebody that was spiritual, then it would help my spirituality, but didn't take long. I was pulling them down to my level and they weren't lifting me to theirs. It's my one thing, Lord. It's my one thing, and I need to deal with it today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make a decision. Today is the day to choose, to decide. Today is the day to say yes. To say yes. What is your one thing, sir? What is your one thing, ma'am? Student, what is your one thing? Life doesn't begin for you when you turn 18 or when you turn 21. It's already happening. Temptation is already strong. The struggle is already real. What is your one thing? Paul said, I identify it. I know what it is. And now I press to overcome and to reach the prize. Anybody want to reach the prize today? Mm-hmm.